Hello friends, I'm welcoming you to this fifth session on this book on Integrative Manager. We've gone through the first four sessions, the first four chapters, in which we discussed about what is integrative management. We took some case studies, and through the case studies, which are actual life experiences of certain leaders, we got in touch with how they thought differently and how they made certain things happen. When a crisis comes, people normally take a knee-jerk reaction. But in these cases of these people whom we have discussed, people like Isidore Sharp, Four Seasons Hotel, Lee Chin, AIC Insurance, people like AJ Lafley, Procter & Gamble, just to name a few, these are the people whom we discussed in the chapter 1. And then we came across a particular type of a common software, a common thinking process which most of these leaders have. They belong to different industry, but they have certain things common. And that common factor or those factors is what we have explored. They have some type of a thinking process which is different from the ordinary leaders. They do what is called as integrative thinking. And we went out to the chapter 2, we got in touch with the theory part of it, how to go about doing it, steps. We talked about the four steps of salience, causality, architecture, and resolution. We took some case studies of how this comes into play. The two managers, Sally and Bill, when they go for the same meeting, both of them are hearing the same words from the customer and how both of them are interpreting it differently. When two people interpret the same thing differently, there's a chaos. Usually what we do, we eliminate one and we choose the other. Then we discuss about how both of them can be integrated. Now, having gone through all that journey, we have come to the chapter number 5, which I'm covering right now, which is called as Mapping the Mind. Now, what are we doing in Mapping the Mind? We are understanding how our thought processes flow. First, we talked about case studies. Then we came down to a certain theoretical framework. I mean, it's something that everybody has to learn. Integrative thinking is not the domain of only a favored few. It's not that only certain people are born with it. Every one of us can become integrative thinkers. Now, to make that thing happen, we need to know what are the steps. So, through the four steps, we got in touch with how to go about doing these four steps. That was theory. Now, after the theory comes, I want to convert it into a skill, into a practice. So, there is a theory. Now, how to do it? To understand that, I need to go through how our thoughts work, how the mind is mapped, and in the mapping of the mind, what are the various factors that come into picture. So typical scenarios we'll try to explore, and through that we'll get in touch with the first touch about how we need to cultivate certain thinking process. When we read theory, it's very impressive, but putting it into practice is also important, otherwise the theory is useless. So what are we going to do? We are going to talk about certain steps of thought processes, which when you recognize and when you modify, you are in the path of being an integrative thinker. So that is what we are covering in this particular chapter, to put it in a nutshell. Let's see and explore what is in store for us. The objectives: to understand the three elements of one's personal knowledge. Now, when I say personal knowledge, means it's my wisdom, my experience, my thought processes, that becomes what is called as personal knowledge. So there's a terminology called personal knowledge system, which we'll be using, which is nothing but the way you operate as different from the way I operate. So each of us, to cope with life, each of us, to manage our lives, we develop our own personal knowledge system. To give an example, I have my own value system. I have my own way of looking at the world. And the way I have my value system and the way I look at the world, I have certain behaviors. And those behaviors are working for me as far as my goals are concerned. So my personal knowledge system is making me run my life. So in an integrative thinking, we need to know what is the current state of personal knowledge system of us, of each of us. If I have to get into integrative thinking, I must know, try to understand, be aware, what sort of a personal knowledge system I'm operating from. Once I recognize that this is my personal knowledge system, all the different things that are making things happen in my life, then what I do is I explore. I try to understand whether they are really working or not working in certain scenarios. Everything that I do will not be successful. There will be certain things that may not work, certain things work. And how I make them work is again a different story. So I want all of us to deliberate upon our own personal knowledge system. What sort of a personal knowledge system do I have to run my life, to run my career, to run my transactions with people on a day-to-day basis? So that is what constitutes the personal knowledge system. The three elements of one's personal knowledge system is what we are going to explore. Now this is the thought process part of it, which I mentioned some time back. There are three parts to a person's personal knowledge system. Three parts. The first part is what is called as dynamics, stance. Second is tools, and the third is experience. Very easy to understand. Stance means what? Stance comes from the word how I stand. We hear this word in the world of sports. The sprinter, before he runs, before he sprints, he takes a stance. The animal takes a stance before it pounces on the prey. Right? We also have the batsman in the world of cricket. He takes a stance before he hits the ball. So stance is a position I take. Now this position is physical, what I'm explaining. Stance in this case is nothing but the way I look at the world. The way I've taken a view of the world. The world is one, but we are several people and we look at the world from different points of view, different stances. So one is I understand what is my stance. It's a part of my personal knowledge system. Second, this particular stance, this particular point of view of mine towards the world or towards any phenomenon makes me automatically use certain enabling things to make the world happen. Certain tools. These are nothing but thought processes. These are nothing but the way I do things. So these are my tools. My stance creates my tools. And my tools in turn creates my experiences, a third factor. So I need to map what is the stance I'm taking in life or taking in a certain scenario. And because of taking that stance, what sort of a tool I'm employing to make things happen. And when the things happen, what sort of experiences I am going through. Let me illustrate with an example. Suppose, for example, I take a stance saying that the world is not a good place to live. Suppose I take a stance that the world is not a good place to live. There is so much of violence. There is so many negative things happening. Suppose I take the stance. It's my choice, mind you. What happens is the tools, my thinking process, one of the tools, the way I act, the way I relate with people to make my experiences happen, these tools will start looking for the stance which I've taken. It will reinforce my stance. Even if there's a good thing, which many people see, I would be looking at it from a negative angle. And you can imagine what would be the experience of such a person. The experiences would also be very, very negative. Now, such a person would take a very bleak view towards life. Life really is not good. And he will quote experiences. See, I did this in the last time and this is what happened. And he would be a walking, talking pessimist. Now, that's the way he has taken a stance. And he must be wondering why people are talking about this, celebrating and life when life is meaningless. He would be very pessimistic about many things. And if this person is around you, his personal knowledge system might demotivate a person who wants to do something positive. So depending upon the perception, if I can use another word, depending upon my perception, depending upon the way I look at life or look at anything, I develop a stance which gives me certain enabling factors, certain things that make the action happen. And then I get some experiences. So this is what we are going to be talking in this three elements of one's personal knowledge system. Second is the dynamics of one's personal knowledge system. Dynamics means what? Something that is moving is dynamic. When I take a negative view about the world, it keeps repeating in every instance, wherever it is. Like we say, the view is a process within me. This process is constant. A negative person will look at everything with negative. And every process seeks what is called as a content. If I am unhappy with the social life in my city, and I choose to take a stance that city life is horrible, social life is horrible, and if this stance compounds the tool and the experiences number of times, then I create a process within me which makes me look at anything with that negative point of view. I go to a movie house to watch a film, and there also something has to go wrong in my mind. To my mind, I look at something that has gone wrong. The queue is very long for buying the ticket, so I'll take a stance. Nothing works in life. Now, the first one is a social milieu, the second one is a movie house. Third will be a function that the person goes to attend. There also he will start looking at things negatively. So what really happens is, it's a dynamics. It flows. It repeats itself in every occasion. It is what we call it in one of the earlier chapters as the factory setting. The factory setting of a mind is a byproduct of the way my stance, tools and experiences work. And I believe that that is the right way of doing it. And I use logic. I quote experiences. I reinforce my stance by talking about what has happened in the past. Right? Then we talk about very important things called beneficial and detrimental spirals, which is nothing but the way I think will take me to glory, or the way I think may take you to doom. Beneficial is positive, detrimental is taking me away, pulling me away from my goals. Right? And then how to change stance, tools and experiences and develop integrative thinking. This is what we are going to be covering as a objective. The structure, as usual, we have a structure, how the thought circulates, we are going to be discussing. Stance, who you are and what you are after, that's what stance is all about in a brief way. I'll explain further. Tools, knocking the world into shape, how I knock the world into the shape which I want. If I think that the world sucks, then I use tools to prove that my stance is correct. Experience, where the stance and the tools meet the world. My thinking process and my actions, they actually give the experiences. And the dynamics of the personal knowledge system, which is what I have already discussed. Now let's go to the very first. There's a beautiful quote by the Chinese philosopher Confucius. By three methods we may learn wisdom. First is by reflection. I reflect upon something told to me. I meet some spiritual master, or I talk to someone, need not be a spiritual master. He says something and suddenly it strikes me. It strikes me because I'm open to the whatever he's saying. I'm listening attentively, relaxed. So I start reflecting about it when I go back home. On the way, I keep reflecting. So through that, I get some insight, a wisdom, one way of doing it. The second way is, this is by far the noblest, which means this is the one of the best forms of learning in terms of going through self-absorption. Nobody forces you. You choose to be reflecting because you are absorbing. Second is by imitation, which is easiest. I see you do something, I also do the same thing. You are going to a meditation camp, I want to get relaxed, so I also go to meditation camp with you. Or I do something with a successful businessman has done, I also do the same activities. Imitation, which is easiest. And the third, by experience, which is the bitterest. I don't listen to anybody. I'm not willing to talk to anybody. I'm not willing to take any input from anybody. And I go through my ups and downs of my experience. Bitterest. Why bitterest? Because I am not willing to absorb anything. There is a wisdom outside. There are people who are already experiencing it. I'm not willing to take any input from them the way I am. And so this becomes a bitterest form of learning. What are we trying to say in this quote? We are trying to say that either you want, you can reflect upon what is available around you by keeping your eyes and ears and all the sensory organs open, keeping our perceptions open, which is the best form of learning. Or you can simply imitate people without any meaningfulness. They are doing so, I also do. Or you can not listen to anybody and go through your own experience. The choice is yours. We have put this quotation here because we want to make ourselves understand that for an integrative thinker, one needs to be a person who reflects. I cannot reflect on somebody's words unless and until I listen to that person. I absorb what I'm listening. And then that, whatever I've absorbed, I'm listening, is entering into my perceptual plane. And then I start pondering over it. I get sensitized by it. Now, these qualities are very important for a person to enter into integrative thinking. If these qualities are lacking, you need to go through the training to get these qualities. By some means or the other, a coach, a mentor, or somebody has to coach you into this to make you open up. Because unless you're opening up, this aspect will not be understood by your integrative thinking. So, it's a reflection part of it, which is the most important aspect to be understood. Taking it further, and so far in our first four sessions, first four chapters, we observed integrative thinkers using their opposable minds produce strikingly positive outcomes. We learned it. We watched Isidore Sharp, or Isidore Sharp built a world standard hotel chain, the Four Seasons, by taking a worldview of what might be salient to his business problem. The word salience has come in. We saw Bob Young of Red Hat discover unexpected causal relationships that unlocked the door to market leadership for Red Hat, the Linux system. We also saw Moses Neimer. We saw Moses Neimer, who kept his City TV television program community presence in competitive context in mind as he devised the architecture of a unique resolution to the problem of local media in a global era. We have discussed this in the earlier chapters, right? In considering salience, causality and architecture, integrative thinkers we studied didn't retreat into simplification and specialization. They did not get caught up in simplification and specialization. Two important aspects. Simplification means when something becomes unmanageable, we break them into small parts, which is easy to understand, easy to manage, easy to maneuver. That is simplification. Simplification is broad. It's lateral. Now, what is specialization? In every simplified unit, I go deeper and deeper into it and try to make that thing properly understood by me. The nitty-gritty part of a simplified unit, that is specialization. Anything that we take in life needs this process of simplification and specialization. Take the human body. It's got so many organs. All of them are integrated with each other to make the healthy body. Now, doctor will have to simplify this. When you get into learning medicine, you have to go through each part, simplify and understand each organ of the body, simplification. Then each other organ of the body, you have to study what it does in depth. Now, this is important in any body of learning. Anything that we are learning, we need this simplification and specialization. We are not giving the importance of that is very high. But the word of caution is, when we get into a simplification process, we tend to become cut off from the larger picture. The key words are larger picture. It means what? If I am a heart surgeon, and I am focusing only on the heart, and when I am administering any medicine or doing some surgery on the heart, I am oblivious or I really don't integrate the other aspects of the body, then I am not a good heart surgeon. I'm a specialist in terms of being a heart surgeon. Being a specialist, I think only about heart. Everything about the heart I'm very good at, but I may not perceive the connection of a heart with the other organs and other parameters of the body. Specialization. When I simplify every part of the body, I start looking at the nose, the mouth, and the various internal organs. Each one is a separate function. Liver does its job. I simplify it. Now I need to know that liver is simplified. I'm understanding liver from a simplified angle, but that is not it alone. This simplified part is a part of a whole system. This is called a systemic integration. Systemic integration. While the liver has to be studied, separated as a simplified component of the whole body, I need to also realize that any changes in the liver affects the other parts of the body. Any changes in other parts of the body might affect the liver also. The integration of the various parts is lost out when we get into too much of simplification and specialization. This is a word of caution. Nobody is saying do not simplify, do not specialize. But certainly one thing which we are emphasizing is make sure that when you're simplifying, you simplify being in touch with a larger picture. Make sure that when you're specializing, specialize taking into consideration the larger picture. When both of them come together, something unique happens. We'll try to see what as we discuss it further. These people they considered salience, causality and architecture, and they didn't retreat into simplification and specialization. They waded into untidiness and complexity that they would find an elegant resolution in the end. Embracing the mess. People who look at surroundings which are very, very messy as chaos, a terminology which we talked about, never be able to work and they'll really run away, they'll shriek and run away. But certain people, they look at a mess not as a chaos, they look at it as a complexity. It's untidy, but they see some connection between all the untidy parts. Now such people integrative thinkers are able to wade through, they're able to go through, they're able to accept and embrace untidiness because they see a meaningfulness in that. This example I had quoted in one of the earlier sessions, wherein you go to the car mechanics garage. That's written in my book also. It looks very messy. So looking at the mess, a person who is looking at everything from a very systematic angle might reject the car mechanics garage. But the car mechanic has got a clarity out here, and although there's a chaos outside, he's able to connect his clarity with the chaos and get the work done very well. So these are people who don't mind taking untidiness and complexity. Whatever comes, they take it as it is. They don't dictate terms. They don't say that unless my table is clean, I can't work. Not that the table should not be clean. They are people, you give them any situation, they know how to maneuver themselves because they are very open to the larger picture. One of the important things about an integrative thinker is he or she sees the larger picture first and last. And everything is connected to the larger picture. If I'm talking to you right now on this particular topic, and if I see the larger picture of the whole course itself, and I see the larger picture of the value addition which is going to come to each one of you coming from different professions, then the way I deliver this particular lecture, this talk, would definitely have a different type of a flavor. Because all along while I'm talking to you, only about chapter 5, mapping the mind, I'm not into only mapping the mind, but I would be connecting it all those possible things which my audience would like to have. Okay, so taking it further, similarly we saw A.G. Lafley of Procter & Gamble and Lee Chin of AIC. They recognize that unsatisfactory options aren't reality, but only a model of reality built from conscious inferences. The map is not the territory, we say. In one study called NLP, we talk about map is not the territory. Territory means the reality outside. I form my own mental map. Somebody else forms a different mental map about the situation. So when their mental maps are different, they are just about eliminating other things. They say, it's my view. If I'm standing here and looking at this part of the room where I'm taking this shoot, then I'll see only that part of it, but I may not see the other feature from the other angle where somebody else is sitting. Now this gives a limited view about the reality outside. Both these gentlemen and the others also, they saw things not from limited reality, but from an expanded reality. Now we focus to developing opposable mind and building integrative thinking capacity. In this session, we set the stage for the final three sessions, that is chapter number 6, 7 and 8, the next three chapters which follow. So we are going to be setting the stage for the next three chapters by mapping a model for your personal knowledge system. Understand how your thinking process takes place, how your stance leads to tools, leads to experience. The three key words which you need to remember from this chapter: stance, tools and experience. So we'll explore this in this chapter, so that when you go to chapter 6, 7 and 8, you start putting them into action. The tripod supporting the system is termed as stance, tools and experience, as I've already mentioned. We examine how to apply specific integrative thinking skills to each component of your personal knowledge system and observe how exemplary integrative thinkers apply their skills. And we look at how to bring your stance, tools and experiences to bear on the toughest business problems, not only business problems, but any problems which becomes very tough, the ones that seem to have no good answer. The best shot I can give to a problem which appears to be absolutely insoluble, the best shot I can give is to go for integrative thinking. One may ask a question, does integrative thinking always produce results in terms of what I want? The answer is yes to a large extent, sometimes no. Now, why do I say no sometimes? Because at times the integrative thinking may not produce results. But if it doesn't produce results, what does it produce for you? It produces multiple options, multiple choices, multiple stances, multiple tools. Now that gives you an opening up to look for other avenues by which you can actually take your progress ahead. In the absence of nothing, you get something. Instead of getting stuck up, you are in a position to take it further. That's the best shot you can give instead of getting into a state of despair when things go tough. Right? So Bob Young, CEO Red Hat, tells us how he or all integrative thinkers think.